I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Kenya Railway Museum in Nairobi, Kenya, in the continent of Africa. Today, as we continue the conversation, we talk about war or conflicts in Africa. And let me preface my conversation with a Kiswahili saying, Vita vya panzi furaha ya kunguru. That when the grasshoppers fight, it is the hawk that benefits. And that can be translated and be understood to mean that when there is a conflict, there is somebody who benefits. And whenever I look at the question of conflict, I always remember these words courtesy of history of Kwame Nkrumah. On 25th of May 1963, he told his audience, if we are not united, the former colonizer turned neo-colonizer is going to sow seeds of discord amongst us and will continue to fight each other because fighting is in their best interest. He repeated those words in 1964 in Cairo. He repeated those words in 1965 in Accra. And in 1966, he was himself overthrown. And many are the times that we have seen conflicts being manufactured in Africa. And the manufacture of conflict in Africa is many times deliberate. It is informed by the age-old colonizers' mantra and philosophy. Keep them divided, keep them fighting, and reap their resources. So whenever we have seen conflicts, whether it is in the Democratic Republic of Congo, starting as early as it did, in 1961, it was manufactured. Whether it is in Central African Republic, manufactured. Whether it is in Sudan, manufactured. Whether it is in Somalia, manufactured. And we are not saying that African countries are innocent. No, there are elements within Africa who also are used or out of political ambition or ambition for wealth also allow themselves to be utilized. Somebody once asked the question, perhaps the fundamental question, where do you think that the Europeans sell their arms? Where do they sell their weapons? If it is in Angola, sometimes they supply arms to both sides. Even innocent countries that talk peace supply arms. The net effect, therefore, that in answering the question who benefits from the conflicts in Africa, largely until very recently, are European countries. And let us examine the conflicts in order to convince ourselves that this is not just an allegation. We must always remember that when colonialism was brought to an end, it was not brought to an end because the colonialists wanted to leave. If it was the French, see how they left Guinea. See how they left their former colonies. They left wailing and kicking, and they designed an agenda that was going to ensure that they remained in those countries supplying arms. If it is not guns, it is bullets. If it is not bullets, it is tear gas. If it is not tear gas, it is other implements of war. It is aircrafts. And when they do that, what is the immediate benefit? Number one, no meaningful manufacturing takes place in your country. You therefore have to import. When you are in conflict, you've got to finance the conflict. And in order to finance the conflict, what do you use? You use your resources. You use your gold. You use your uranium. You use your cobalt. and you send it in its own form to these countries. Today, when you look at the conflicts and the number of players, silent or otherwise, you see that the ultimate benefits goes to those countries. They sell you the arms and get money from the arms. And they don't stop there. They also take your minerals for the cheap. And they don't stop there. Because you can't engage in agriculture, they also sell you agricultural produce. They sell you high energy biscuits. They sell you boots. They sell you military uniform. They send you high night vision equipment. They send you all the gears that you want. It is them who benefit. And if you look at many of these countries, look at the United Kingdom, look at France, look at Sweden, all these countries, and look at the amount of money that they earn from the war industry, you will recognize that they benefit in a major way. Remember also that when Africa is at war, Africa is in conflict, Africa is then disunited. And a disunited Africa is then susceptible to manipulation. She can no longer be allowed, or she cannot participate in decision making in a manner that is in the long-term interest of Africa. Look at several sectors. And I want us to look at the sector of oil and the sale of oil on a retail, and look at the players in the African soil. If it is not Total, it is Rubis. If it is not Rubis, it used to be ExxonMobil. If it is not any one of those, it is one that is associated with them. It is ELF. So that African countries are always getting the short hand of the stick. When mines have been used by African combatants in countries such as Angola, whom do you contract to come and remove the mines? Is it African countries? No, it is not. It is European contractors and American contractors who are then invited to help in removing these mines. The net effect, therefore, is not far to seek. Conflict in Africa, war in Africa, is a major industry, perhaps the biggest industry for many countries that are involved in manufacturing of arms. And it must always be understood that many countries that are involved in this particular arrangement now have very subtle ways of selling their arms to the continent of Africa in a manner that they think will not be traceable to them. In the ongoing conflict in Sudan, ongoing to mean in this year of 2025, we have already been informed and is certified, and I think it was raised in the British Parliament, that British weapons were found in Darfur. How did they get there? Of course, you listen and hear the pro forma statement saying, we did not supply them. But they don't have to supply them. They only have to contract people who supply them. That is an old trick of ensuring that your steps are not traced. If you look at France and you look at the insurgency that is now ongoing in Chad, in Niger, in Burkina Faso, you will see the hand of France and French companies in supplying arms in those areas. If you look at the ongoing conflicts in the Democratic Republic of Congo, you'll find these arms. And what and why do they do that? They do that indeed because it is necessary for ensuring that their companies are thriving, to ensure that their industries are thriving, to ensure that they get the minerals from Africa in the ore form, and that Africa get the short hand of the stick. In a nutshell, what one is saying is that the conflicts in Africa have become a necessary ingredient for the development of different parts of the world. A Nigerian called Adekeye Adebajo has written a book which speaks to the source of this. He calls it Africa After the World War II, The Curse of Berlin. the division of Africa into these little countries, which are then not viable. Not so long ago, we have seen several coup attempts in a country such as Guinea-Bissau. We cannot delink those things from its connection with Portugal. It is true that external forces do take advantage of conflicts in Africa in a manner that continues to consign Africa to the periphery economically, politically, diplomatically, and to the detriment of African unity and for the betterment of those countries. And this is why Western Europe continues to bear the mark of Cain on their forehead when it comes to these issues, because they are behind many of these conflicts in the continent of Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, the conversation regarding the mother continent of Africa continue apace. But we take a break to see you next time. Thank you very much.